Welcome to Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business. This is the Woo Pod.
Always anticipating something happening must be knackering.
Yeah, it's exhausting. And when that weight was lifted, I suddenly realised I just have all this energy and time now for myself.
I'm your host, Wendy Gannon, but most people call me Woo. I'm a photographer, ADHDer, female advocate, and let's be honest, an all-round fucking legend. Can you tell I didn't write this script? This podcast is part of Female 5 Million, a movement founded to empower women to step the fuck up, take control, and unapologetically own their space. It all started with some fucking Jebben's LinkedIn post spouting some sexist bullshit about how women should dress to succeed in business. And you know what? Stuff like that really fucks me off. It really fucks me off. So I posted about it, and that post ignited something bigger. A nationwide photography project, a full-blown fucking movement, and now this podcast. Here on the Woo Pod, we're raising the voices of women who refuse to be told what to do. Women who are done playing by the rules and are now saying, don't fucking tell me what to wear or how to run my business. If you've ever been told to tone it down, dress more appropriately, or run your business like a man, fuck that. Expect raw, unfiltered conversations with women who have fought through sexism, abuse, and outdated patriarchal bullshit to build success on their terms, all whilst wearing whatever the fuck they want. Oh, and there's more swearing than our producer is willing to beep out. Sorry, Buckers. Speaking of which, you'll probably hear me ask producer Buckers to chime in from time to time because, like, I give a shit what she says. We've both got ADHD. We bounce well off each other. Deal with it. We're here to celebrate women doing business their way and shine a spotlight on the incredible ways women are fighting back and lifting each other up. Because to be honest, that's what it's all about. And for those who aren't able to speak up right now, for whatever reason, I see you. Okay, let's crack on then. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business podcast. And this episode, I'm so, so happy to introduce Wendy Chris Evans. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Wendy.
You don't get to do that much, do we?
No.
How are you? Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm really good now. I've had a horrible menopause week until now, but now I'm feeling really good. So we're all raring to go again.
I don't really get horrible menopause weeks. Mine's pretty, like, stable, I think.
Stable in a good way? Like, you're feeling good?
I mean, like, always super hot. Like, I'm like, what's the temperature? I am sweating. 8 degrees. I'm so hot. And I've got no eating on. But yeah, the lives we live, huh? Wendy, can you give yourself an introduction? Let us know what you do, all of the things that you do.
All of the things, well. So I have two careers. I'm an actuary and an artist. So I've been an actuary for 25 years now. And I work for a company called LCP. We're an actuarial consultancy. I've worked all over the London market in Lloyd's, with syndicates and with other insurers. And recently, as in this year, I decided that I wanted to be an artist because that was something I'd always wanted to do. But I sort of made a decision when I was about 18 that it was one or the other. And I thought, well, you know, I can teach myself art and I can't really teach myself maths as easily. So I thought I'll go and do maths at university and then I'll do a bit of art in my spare time, and sort of didn't.
Yeah, of course.
Occasionally, like there was one year we had a Christmas competition to draw someone. You were given someone and you had to draw them, and I won because I did the best drawing because, you know, I can draw. But that's things like that, and everyone was like, oh, we didn't even know you could draw. I was like, well, no, I don't do it very often, so most people don't know.
Oh, bless you. So can you just really, as briefly as possible, let us know what an actuary is? I know because I used to do actuarial recruitment, but Buckers, producer Buckers, is before we came on, she's like, what is an actuary? And I gave her a very high level.
Not a Scooby. What is that?
And I know it took me a long time to work out actually what it was in London Market and Lloyd's. So if you wouldn't mind just giving us a brief overview.
Okay. So in summary, we assess risk. So we assess financial risk. So that could be, what is the chance of a huge hurricane happening and how much is that going to cost? And we look at things like extreme things happening. So the pandemic's a good example of an extreme event. And there's actually a lot of controversy about, should insurers pay for that, or it wasn't actually in the policies, but should it have been? So things like that, it's up to us as actuaries to assess how likely it is that these claims are going to happen. And we're basically there to make sure that insurance companies can pay their claims. So even if something really bad happens, they've got enough money in the bank that they can pay out for the claims that happen.
Thank you very much. And then you mentioned that you worked in Lloyd's, and you were part of the Lloyd's exhibition. Your art was in the exhibition last year. And I came to see it. It was wonderful. Tell us a little bit about that.
So what I loved about that was how it brought my two careers together. So there's a Lloyd's art group. And it's a group of about 100 artists who all have a connection to the Lloyd's market in some way. So for me, it's a fairly obvious connection. I work in the market, I work with syndicates, I work with Lloyd's. But some people are actually professional artists whose husband or wife might work for a syndicate, or they could, it doesn't have to be quite as exact as that. So some people have got like three cousins who happen to work in the market and they're a professional artist, so then they're able to join as well. So you have to have some kind of connection to the Lloyd's market, and then you're allowed to submit three paintings to the exhibition, and it's in the Lloyd's old library. So this room was moved piece by piece from the old building. And it's this very traditional wooden old boys club, like gentlemen's club building, room basically. And there's wood everywhere, and there's like all these meanings, and there's semaphore signs everywhere, and different, what are they called? I can't remember. The thing that every profession has a crest or something, and I think some of them are all over as well. So it's full of meaning and tradition and history. And having it filled with art is amazing, to see all this incredible bright colours and different styles of art. And I loved talking to people that like insurance and art.
Yeah.
Because they're both quite specialist. You don't often meet people that are into the same things as you, like my two favourite things. And most people think insurance is really boring, but I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
So it's great to meet other people that also find insurance fascinating, but like art as well.
I love that. Very niche.
Very niche. But I used it. I really, really used the opportunity to expand both of my careers. So I spoke to people, I went to every event that they had, I helped out on the desk, I was there all the time. I happened to be working in the Lloyd's building one day that it was on, so I was down there constantly chatting to people, chatting to making new connections for my actuarial side of things, and then making new connections through art. So I've actually had a meeting with somebody last week who I met at the event, and he and I are hopefully going to work together. We think our two companies can complement each other. And so, he has this amazing software, which actuaries haven't been involved in so far. And I said, oh, I think, you could make that software talk to this other software, and, with some services, and, we're at very early stages. But yeah, it was brilliant. And he's an artist as well.
Love this. Love it. It's all about collaboration. All about collaboration, networking, building relationships. That is just like, that's my business, basically. So, Wendy, why did you get involved with Female 5 Million?
Well, because you're brilliant.
Thanks.
And anything that you do is going to be good. So I was keen to get involved from that perspective. Also, it really resonated with me what you said, your response to what that guy had said. It really resonated, you know. It's just trying to put women back in their place, like whatever that is, whatever, you know, this guy thinks women should be in a certain place and do things in a certain way. And I feel like I've spent my whole life rebelling against that, even from when I was a little girl. And, you know, my dad would say things to me like, he said once, "You need to marry a man to keep you in the manner to which you've been accustomed." And I said, "Dad, I'm going to make my own money, thank you very much."
Look at you now, girl.
And actually, you know what? He is really proud of me and my sister. My sister has done really well as well. So my dad is only two of us, and he's very proud of us. But back then, he had quite old-fashioned attitudes. Mm-hmm. And I think me and my sister have shown him.
I love that, though. And he probably didn't mean, like, there was nothing negative meant in that. It was just that's how it is, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what his lived experience was.
Yeah.
Do you think actuarial is a male-dominated industry?
I think in some ways it can be. And it used to be much more male-dominated. But it's changing rapidly. So at the senior level, yes, I would say it's more male dominated. But if you look at graduates, we have a pretty even split. And then if you even look at people who are qualified, it's a pretty even split. Mm-hmm. But in the senior leadership team, we have 13 people and I think 4 of them are female.
How does that happen? Is it had like if it's an even split at grads, even split at qualified, is it that women are just stopping, not wanting to get promoted, aren't given the opportunity to be promoted? What do you think it is?
I think it's less what's happening now and more than what happened in the past.
Uh-huh.
So I think potentially women would get to a certain age and they wouldn't need to work after having children.
Okay.
It used to be you only needed one person to work. Like 20 years ago, you could just.
They'd only give you a mortgage on one person's wage, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you could get away with it. So I know a lot of women that just were like, "Oof, there's no point in me working." Some of my colleagues are married to actuaries, and their wives, who are also actuaries, have said, "Oh, well, there's no point in me going back to work now. You know, he earns enough. I haven't worked in 15 years. Why would I bother going back to work? It's too difficult."
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what you want to do, fantastic. But I could not imagine doing that at all.
I think it is really hard to get back in, though, once you've been out of the market. It's really difficult.
Yeah. So actuaries have to take exams.
Yes. The exams are a great leveller because no one knows who you are when you take the exams. And it's all done on how you perform. So you can't be biased, basically. So
yeah,
as long as you're good enough, you get your exams. And I think that's one of the reasons why women do better in this kind of career, because it's you can't be biased in the exams. If you put the work in and you pass, and then you've got that bit of paper, this that my mum said to me when I was young, when I was a child, get yourself a profession so that you've got that bit of paper, so that if you want to take time out of your career to have children, you can go back to it, which I thought was
get yourself
really
a trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what she said. Between them, my parents prepared me for life, I think.
Oh, bless them. So have you had any experiences with toxic men? And if you have, would you be comfortable sharing some of those experiences with us?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, not so much at work, but my ex-husband, definitely. Yeah, I think I didn't realise how badly he treated me, because I don't think I knew what a relationship should look like And I just thought it was normal that he was horrible to me. And I thought it was my fault. Like, he would make it my fault. He'd say, oh, you're so intolerant. But yeah, it's typical narcissist behaviour, isn't it? It's
typical narcissist.
It's intolerant, but he puts it on me.
Yeah. How long were you with him for?
15 years.
Oh, bless you. Was it? Yeah. It's, you don't get taught how to have relationships, do you? You don't get taught what's normal and what is toxic and what is allowed and what's not allowed. And maybe that's what we can do with some of this stuff that we're working on, is, you know, show women and girls what is not tolerable.
Yeah.
What you do not put up with.
Yeah.
So, Wendy, what is your experience of the patriarchy fucking things up?
I love this question.
And what's your experience with dealing with it?
It's just made everything in my life harder.
Yeah.
It's meant I've had to work harder. I've had to be more resilient. I've had to go against the grain. It's just little things like that really annoy me. Like, I get in the car and I'm quite short and nothing works how I want it to. I can't reach the pedals properly. It's not comfortable. I can't get the seat right, and everything's just not quite right. And I just feel like everything, every day, it's all these little things that add up to me just being annoyed constantly.
On the car thing, did you know that this is another stat from Joe Phillips. Did you know that they have only just started using female crash test dummies?
Yeah.
And that's only in the passenger seat.
Yeah. Have you read Invisible Women?
No.
Oh, Caroline Criado Perez. She's this incredible statistician, and she uses her stats to come up like with ways that women are invisible in data, and she uses that find out what's going on. And that's one of the things she actually spoke to somebody who was involved in doing this testing, and his response to, you know, why aren't you testing on women, his response was, well, you know, we're not testing at the extremes, we're testing average. She's like, you're testing an average man. That's, women are not an extreme, they're 50% of the population.
That's like that is like hormones, like HRT, the pill, are tested on men because female hormones change too much. They don't test it on women.
Yeah. Like, she's got a whole chapter on that in the book as well.
Okay, I need to have a look at it. Oh my god, it's absolutely bonkers.
Drives me insane.
Isn't there something to do with like heart disease as well, that the symptoms of heart disease or like a heart attack on the way present differently in men and women? So more women die from heart-related diseases because the way that those symptoms present in women haven't been studied in the same way.
People don't
as much
know they're
as,
having a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it can. So men, I think it's more instant, whereas in women, it can build up over a very long period. And so you think you might just have indigestion,
right?
And actually, you're having a heart attack over the period of a week or something. It's horrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. So, Wendy, me and producer Buckers, when we were creating the trailer for this podcast, Buckers had put together some brilliant, like, she put together not a script, but, you know, just like written some information down about what the podcast was, etc., etc. And in there was like that I was so strong and that I'd come through this stronger. And what was it when you said, Buckers? It was that, wasn't it?
Oh, it was something like we wanted the podcast to like be able to like give women a voice or like make them more heard, or I can't remember exactly what it was, but Wendy, let me tell you, Woo put me on my place. It was schooled so, that day.
I hope I did it nicely.
Of course you did.
And so, like the phrases of being a survivor or finding your voice or finding your strength and stuff like that. And I'm like, but I didn't find my strength. Like when I was in domestic abuse relationships, I did not feel strong. Like I wasn't like, I can do this. It was like, I just have to live. And I don't know if you can resonate with that, and like if you do, how do you feel about those phrases like finding your strength and finding your voice?
I mean, when at the time you're in an abusive relationship, you don't know you're in an abusive relationship, because if you knew, you would leave.
I don't know about yeah. I mean, I think like look, I did know I was in an abusive relationship, but there's definitely many factors that I couldn't leave. A, because it was my house, and the other one because everything was in their name, so my wages got paid into their bank, and I was given, yeah, and I was given like some cash that I could spend, and the phone was on theirs, like all of my data, all of my photos were on there, like so that so I had to literally plan to leave, and that went on for 10 years.
Wow.
So yes, yeah, cool. But yes, so I will argue with that point a little bit. It depends, right? But yeah, but it is so slow sometimes, and it's so, and you don't understand, and they are like gaslighting you that you do think it's you a lot of the time. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted.
No, sorry, I hadn't thought about it from that perspective, but yeah, once I realised that it was abusive, that's when I knew I had to leave. But I can totally see that if there were other factors, you just couldn't leave. There's things that are making you stay.
Yeah, and we only know about like our experiences, right? You don't know unless it's happened to you.
So finding your strength. I felt like a weight had been lifted when I said, "Don't come home." I said, "I want a divorce. Don't come back." And I suddenly thought, I don't have to deal with him anymore. I can do things how I want. And before that, I sort of felt like I couldn't do stuff. Like, I was like, oh, I can't put more out, I can't work more hours because I've got to look after the children, and I can't, I can't spend less time doing housework because there's just so much to do. Who else is going to do it? And then I suddenly thought, hang on a minute. I don't have to do any tidying up after him. I don't have to spend hours a day anticipating his needs. I don't have to worry about, all the stuff that he would mess up that would be my problem. So he would constantly lose keys or forget to buy something or forget to send presents. And it was always my problem. I always had to deal with it. And just never knowing when one of these bombshells would hit you, and you'd go, right, how on earth am I going to deal with this problem? Like, he's forgotten his keys. It's my issue. I have to phone everybody I know that might live nearby that happens to have a key just to
Yeah, and
get
I
in.
guess do you anticipate or always anticipating something happening must be knackering, like just yeah.
It's exhausting. And when that weight was lifted, I suddenly realised I just have all this energy and time now for myself. And I just felt like I could do anything.
And you have, and you, oh, I love it. So you introduced me to the fantastic ladies at Neon Leo. So some guy had said to one of them about the skirt was too short or something, wasn't
Just in the street, a random guy stopped her and said, "Go and put some trousers on."
Like, so Wendy tagged me in this reel and said you need to know each other. So I was like, hi, can I be your friend? And I went down and I met them and they did a shoot, and they're going to be in the book as well. And they are absolutely fabulous. So I just wanted to say, Wendy, thank you very much for that introduction, and shout out to the Neon Leo ladies. You can hire the most amazing clothes from there, or you can buy them. They're like, they are sustainable fashion. They are cool as fuck and they are very fun.
Oh, yes.
All of the fun.
Amazing.
And they, and you're near them, aren't you? You live near them.
Yeah, they're 15 minutes away from me, and I now subscribe to them. So every month, I pay a small amount, and I get a free rental every single month. So
that's good.
Where are these ladies? Really good deal. Where will I find these ladies?
So they're in Saffron Walden, but you don't actually have to go there. They'll do it all by post for you if you like.
It's in Essex, North Essex.
Okay.
North Essex, Cambridgeshire borders. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're amazing. And they do this, like, when I signed up, they did me a gift bag and they chose everything specifically for me. Like, I messaged her and said, did you choose this lipstick for me? She said, yeah, I did. I was like, it's the perfect shade.
They're so good. So, you know, like, I like to wear tracksuit bottoms because, you know, relaxed. They found me tracksuit bottoms with black sequins. Black, fully black sequin tracksuit bottoms. They are the most beautiful thing in the world. Like, and there's never a more me item of clothing. Well, it's just so perfect. Oh,
yeah.
So do you then get to keep, so do you keep them? They send you stuff and you wear it for a month and send it back? Or is there an option to, like, keep it if you really like it? How does it work?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, if you rent something and you want to keep it, they'll take the price of the rental off the purchase price and you can just keep it. You can rent it for any, I think they do 4 days, 8 days, 21 days rental. So I did for the photo shoot, for the female 5 million photo shoot. That's when I first went to them. That's how I knew about them, was because I knew.
Was that the first time?
That was the first time I'd rented that dress, that amazing dress. And I'd seen it on Instagram. I think they were like friends of friends of friends. And I saw it. Oh, God, I love that dress. I must go and try it on for your photo shoot. And that's when I rented it. And it just sort of ballooned from there.
Such a good idea.
And from there, I am going to ask you this question. It's normally the final question, but there's going to be one after this. Can you tell us one piece of clothing or an outfit that makes you feel your most powerful or beautiful?
Okay, so I got it from there, this item of clothing. It is a huge jacket. It's bright orange and it's furry. And my husband said, it looked like a Yeti had had an accident in an ironbury factory.
Oh, but it is just stunning.
It's huge. Like, I'm like I said earlier, I'm not very big, so I don't take up a lot of space. But when I wear this jacket, I'm huge. It's so fluffy. It's and it's got these really wide, like, bat wing arms as well. So that you've got this huge fluff, this huge jacket, and it just makes me enormous. It's just about waist length. So it's not full length, it's waist length, but it's really warm, ridiculously warm. And I love wearing it on the tube because everyone stares at me and they also get out of my way. Which is something I haven't experienced before. So they look at you and they go, oh my God, what is she wearing? that's crazy. And they just sort of go, she's a bit odd. So they sort of give you a wide berth. But then when I'm standing on the tube, people will give me so much more space because I'm taking up space. And that feeling of taking up space, I've never had that before. And it's brilliant. It's like, you know, men do that, like they man spread and they take up loads of space. Yeah. And
God, I hate it so much.
I'm like, I'm not making myself smaller anymore. I'm making myself bigger. I'm going to wear enormous clothes so that people give me space on the tube and don't crowd me and don't put their armpits in my face. Get out of my way.
What do we think about man spreading, right?
Not a fan.
Like, so I do not want your leg touching my leg. However, if you're spreading onto my side, I'm pushing back, bruv.
Yeah. I don't think many people do it anymore because I think it does have such a bad name.
They do where I am.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, one last question, Wendy. We are not men haters. I love men.
I love sexy men the most, and I would sexy, clever, humorous men. Like, different things mean sexy, not just licks, guys. So do you have any positive examples of men showing their support for you?
I've got one silly one. I actually find this really attractive and really sexy. My husband has enormous hands. Like, absolutely. His fingers are more than twice the thickness of mine. They're just huge man paws. They're really impressive. And he pretty much does all the washing. And my favourite thing to do is to watch him put my lingerie away with his enormous paws. It's so sexy.
That is really cool. I love that. So yeah, that's definitely a positive example of men showing their support. Like, big up him doing the washing full stop. Big up him for having big hands. And big up him for being delicate with your delicate. Wendy, thank you so much for coming on. You're so lovely. Where can people find you or your art?
So, wendycruzevans.com, with a K and a Z. It's a Czech name. It means cross in Czech. So if you forget.
Okay.
Yeah. I met a Czech lady at an art exhibition, and she's like, Chris, is that Czech? Yes, it is. So that's courtesy of my ex-husband, but I decided to keep it.
It's a good name.
Yeah, and I wanted to have the same name as my children until they're grown up. So I thought I might ditch it eventually, but I kind of like being unique.
Yeah, my ADHD coach changed her name, and she was like, I'm just going to pick one.
Ah!
Fox. Fox. So she's Siobhan Fox.
Amazing. So
yeah, love it. Anyway, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. You are a legend, and I love you, and you're wonderful.
I love you too.
See you later. That's it for today's episode of Don't Fucking Tell Me What to Wear or How to Run My Business on the WooPod with me, Wendy Gannon. This is more than just a podcast. It's part of Female 5 Million. Head to the link in the show notes to find out more about our movement to empower women. If this episode spoke to you in any way, made you laugh, made you cry, or maybe it inspired you, share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Leave us a rating and a review, and let's keep this movement growing. And while I've got you here, my photography is the way that I fight back against the patriarchy. I empower female founders with the confidence to be themselves in their business, to really enjoy their photo shoot and actually love their photos. So then they can grow their business, increase their prices, and get paid what they fucking deserve. If you want to work with me, drop me a message. All the info you need to contact me is in the show notes. Until next time, keep doing you, and remember, you are part of something bigger. Bye!